Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our weekly Wednesday evening Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. That thing over there is David Griggs, the puppet. Down below us, we've also got back from bracketeer.org. Joining us again is Rocco Miller. Rocco and puppet, how are you guys doing tonight? We've got a lot doing to well. Get through. But
we got a lot to get to, and it is a busy night. Like, we are live on tape delay, so we will be bringing you live updates from two big games, even though they'll be over by the time you're watching this.
We're going to try to avoid talking about, you know, about the games that are going on, because you are always going to be watching this long if these games are final. But we are recording this around 9:30 here on Wednesday evening, so the big games between Stephen F. Austin and Abilene Christian in the Southland, and obviously the Drake Missouri State game in the Missouri Valley. Yep. We will mention that they're going on, but we probably are not going to have finals by the time we're done with the show. Right. But that's right. Dave, what the heck is Under the Radar?
Well, it is basically the 22 regular one bid league. So it's the conferences that normally only get one bid. We have to say that there's no such thing really as a one bid league as far as a designation goes. These conferences could in theory send more than half their teams if they get out there and win 80% of their out of conference games. But more often than not, it's the 22 one bid league. So what it is not, it's not the Power Five, the Big East, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC. Nor is it the other five regular multi-bid leagues, which is the Big East, who I already said, so I must have left out a Power Five, the American, the West Coast, the Mountain West, usually anyway, and the Atlantic 10.
Okay, yeah. We do cover those conferences. We do them on Monday night during our Hoops HD report. But the other disqualifier to be under the radar is if you are ranked in the top 25, and we have a team in Drake who we just mentioned who's coming very close to that. And if they do tonight, and I don't know if they play this weekend or not, but if they remain undefeated, they could crack the top 25 by next week. But
And if they win the night and win over the weekend, I definitely think they belong there. These are hard games to win. Missouri State has only lost to one other team other than Drake, and I don't believe it was a home loss. So, I mean, Drake really getting big wins here.
But I like to do is when we go through these conferences, there's 21 of them total this year, normally 22, the Ivy League not playing this year. But
yeah,
I like to do is start off with a feature conference I like to surprise you guys with. And I'm going to go ahead and pull up our feature conference for the night here to begin things off. And I thought this would be a good night to start things off in the Ohio Valley Conference, actually. For several different
love
reasons.
Love this conference.
But let's begin with that team up top there. 16-1 overall. Rocco, let me bring you on this. 10-0 in conference and
getting AP votes. I didn't realize
getting that. Getting AP votes, a balanced scoring attack, five players that are averaging double figures. How about this Belmont team?
Belmont's a really good team, dangerous team. Shooters all over the place. You saw what happened to SIU Edwardsville on Saturday. That game, I mean, they put up 114 points. Obviously, the Cougars were coming back from a long layoff. But still, I mean, they can just make a lot of baskets. They hit 17 threes in that game. We all know about Moose. He's been there 3 years now. Part of the team that got an at-large bid as a freshman. Now he's a junior. And they added, you know, I think the most intriguing player they added was Luke Smith, a D3 transfer, who was one of the best players in D3, came all the way up to D1 play. And he fit Belmont perfectly. He's just a spot-up shooter, plays pretty good defensively. And, you know, I think he's averaging north of 15 a game, if I remember correctly. So the roster is there to not only win the OVC, but I think win a game in the tournament if they get the right matchup. And this Bruins team is definitely one to keep your eye on.
Yeah, but David, to get there, they're gonna have to get by an Eastern Kentucky team that did slip up once against Moorhead. But you want to talk about Belmont putting 114 on Edwardsville. Eastern Kentucky put 113 on Tennessee Martin last week.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky, again, I think that they're easily to forget for whatever reason, but this is a team that's 13-2. You mentioned the loss to Moorhead State. Their only other loss was to Xavier at Xavier in overtime. Other than that, they've beaten everybody. Now, if you pull up their profile, you'll see that
they are on the right. Got it ready to go.
You know, it is. I mean, they're
a little tier four heavy.
When you look at tier one, tier two, and tier three, it's lacking a little bit. So you know, they haven't really been playing against other than perhaps more. Well, not even them really is a tier four win, but or is a tier three win. They haven't really faced Belmont yet.
No, they haven't.
Their resume will be looking a little better if they do. But if you look at the games they lost, actually Moorhead kind of blew them out. I'm not really familiar with
that. It was a 13-point win, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, to go to Xavier, who I think is a tournament team, they've been hovering around the top 25 and really be in a position to win that game. I think it was double overtime, actually. This is a really good team, too. And it's a team, like you said, that Belmont might have a little trouble with when they do finally play. It's going to be a great game. Two really contrasting styles. EKU, very athletic, full court pressure. And Belmont, as Rocco just described, more of a half court oriented team. I'm already looking forward to that.
Yeah. And with all the missed games, whatever, the Ohio Valley probably is trying to squeeze all these games in, or as many as they can. As you can see, there is. Throughout the month of February, I think EKU is playing almost every other day here. It's a brutal schedule in terms of, but and Belmont twice. So those are the two games to circle, February 11th and February 25th, as scheduled right now, at least. We'll see, you know, how things play out there. And hopefully they can get on the court. I think they're coming out of a pause themselves. They've been in for about a week and a half or so here at EKU.
Yeah. But they've still been winning. I mean, that's how good they are.
Oh, actually, they did not play this past weekend. They're not playing during this week until Tuesday next week they play again.
Yeah.
Upcoming schedule, though, we do see Belmont is playing tomorrow night at Austin Peay. We talk about that great Belmont offense. Austin Peay, number 306 in defense. They might have a little bit of trouble with the Bruins.
They're going to need 90 at least, I think.
What happened to Austin Peay this year?
Belmont they can't play defense. That's what happened to them. But Belmont at Murray State was a game that we were going to be circling at the start of the season, I think, and it's just kind of another game on the schedule here coming up on Saturday in this conference.
Yeah, I don't know if the car has blown up, but the wheels have definitely come off of Murray State's car. 3-5 in conference, again, a team that we thought would be right up there with Belmont just like they always have been. Really struggling.
Well, Rocco, Murray State would actually be two spots higher if this was a year from now, because although it's not official yet, all the news is that three teams are on the way to the A-Sun: Central Arkansas out of the Southland, and should be announced, from what I heard, either later this week or early next week, that Eastern Kentucky and Jacksonville State are out of this conference next year, heading over to the Atlantic Sun. I believe it's for football purposes mostly, but
football, yeah.
But they'll be gone from this league in basketball.
Hell of a football conference that is.
Yeah, though they're trying to be, right? I know Jacksonville State's a perennial, most years top 10 football program, so I'm sure it makes all the sense for them, and just with that alone. But you know, basketball wise, you know, we'll get to the A-Sun here shortly.
Don't play football.
They don't play football, but they're going to have enough football programs now, I think, to build a league out of. And in basketball wise, you've got North Alabama now. You've got a few other teams locally in the A-Sun. Kennesaw is not far. So Jacksonville State might be just as comfortable there as they are in the OVC. And then as far as EKU goes, you know, I guess that's all football related as well. It's interesting, but hopefully it's good for the programs, because they're both up and coming programs in basketball.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the rest of the conference and run through them in alphabetical order as we like to. And we'll start things off in the America East, which has had trouble getting games in the past couple weeks. We did get four games played this past week. It's about the best we could say here. But David, we're still not seeing Vermont now for last week and a half year. And New Hampshire, I guess, was kind of been a story, but then they slip up badly on Sunday against Albany.
Yeah, Stony Brook a little bit of a story too, I still think Vermont has the best pieces, but the problem is those pieces are kind of getting rusty when you haven't been able to get out on the court for any out of conference games, and now it's to the point to where they're having trouble getting out there even for their conference games. But UMBC continues to impress. I they might have the juice to fit. I don't think they're going to finish outside of the top two, and they might end up finishing in first place. As far as I know, I know you're the expert on this, Chad. This conference is keeping its regular format, so the 1-2 finish is hugely important, because it could determine, and likely will, where the championship games play.
Yeah, the current plans for the America East, you know, conference tournaments may all get blown up here over the next 3 or 4 weeks, but the current plan is the normal format, 8 teams in the conference tournament, all 3 rounds being played on the campus site of the higher seed. But Rocco, let me bring you back in here. Again, we're not seeing Vermont on the schedule for next week because of the shutdown. UMBC should get a couple games at NJIT, at least allegedly.
Yeah, I think the games we're seeing for this weekend so far, from what I know, they're all on schedule. And NJIT, you know, they split with Stony Brook last week. They actually have a better power ranking than Stony Brook, impressively. I think that has to do with their win at Vermont. But that will at least test UMBC. I think New Hampshire should have no problem at Binghamton. If they do, then they're not as good as we thought. And then I think Albany and UMass Lowell coming back from a little bit of a layoff could be a little interesting as well.
The schedule for this conference now, the conference actually announced this week that they are going with 2 weeks rolling schedules.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Okay. So with that said, I mean, that explains why Vermont doesn't have another game on their schedule right now. You can even go to their website and it looks like their season's already over.
On a 2 weeks rolling basis, they basically scrap the remaining games and the conference is just going to announce what the matchups are going to be. It's going to be the doubleheader, back-to-back games at one team site. But, so we're going to get a surprise every week. Who's the American East going to play this week?
Let's just get Vermont UMBC doubleheaders every week. Maybe one team will win 8 of them. Right.
Atlantic Sun Conference, Rocco, you're mentioning this a little bit here, but you see
that log jam. Wow.
Actually, sandwiched between two ineligible teams, you have this Liberty team up here. But two ineligible teams, North Alabama and Bellarmine, two of the best teams, three best teams in the conference right now, which is amazing.
Absolutely. Well, North Alabama's had the nice little break of Kennesaw State and Jacksonville 4 straight games, and they got all 4 wins, so that's not easy. One of them was overtime last week with Jacksonville. Good job by the Lions. Tony Pujol in year 2 as a D1 program is, showing that they can compete at this level, and they play a really good, defensive brand, a top 200 defense, which is actually saying something for the A-Sun. And I think also Bellarmine, I mean, David's talked about them quite a bit coming over from D2. I know you watch them at the D2 level a lot. They've just swept Stetson. Very impressive. Stetson, the week before gave Liberty fits, split with them, came into Louisville, played Bellarmine, and Bellarmine swept them. They also got a sweep at FGCU, so 4 straight wins. And, both these teams are a force to be reckoned with, and I think they're getting invited to the conference tournament. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Both Bellarmine and North Alabama are going to be invited in this conference tournament. Yeah. They normally only go 8 teams in this conference. They've expanded it out to 9. They're playing the whole thing in Jacksonville this year. So all 9 teams will be in it. If an ineligible team wins, it goes to the regular season champion.
And that's exciting for both these teams, transitional teams. And how about, this is Bellarmine, I thought would be competitive. They're meeting and even exceeding expectations. For North Alabama, I had no expectations, and they are doing even better than Bellarmine, 5-1 in conference. And I know, like you said, it hasn't exactly been a front loaded schedule, but still, for any transitional team to be 9-3 in their second year of transitioning and 5-1 in a D1 conference, that is almost historically good.
It's not Merrimack good. Come on, calm down.
Yeah, it isn't. That's a good point, Chad. When you look at Merrimack and when you look at Grand Canyon, who maybe they were a little bit different because of all the money they were pumping into athletics, but these transitional teams compared to how rough it was for like Savannah State when they came up
NJIT when they came up,
who lost 51 consecutive games. And I think Savannah State was 7-79 as a transitional team. Compared to some others, I think Bryant had a really hard time. Well, everybody has a hard time. These are schools that are actually competing for conference titles, and that is remarkable.
Yeah, and I got to say here, Let's look forward here at the schedule here actually for this week. Interesting. We've got North Alabama, North Florida, and actually a pretty interesting series in terms of the conference standings coming up. Some of these games go again. Liberty,
NKU
Jacksonville,
was
I think
awful too.
Happened. NKU got an NCAA tournament bid the first year they were eligible for the tournament, or the second year.
They did, but as a transitional team, they won like three games in 4 games. It wasn't until later that they got.
I want to move on to the next conference, but I do want to, before we leave here, Rocco, just for you, give a quick shout out to Kennesaw State, the Rocco Miller special team, having a great year at 0-13 against D1.
Oh, man. It's been rough. It's been rough. They've lost a lot of heartbreakers. And, you know, the last game they played again, they lost by three. It's just.
Wait a minute.
Some growing pains.
Okay.
Growing pains.
Yeah. There's 347 teams. How is their average ranking one less than the number of teams that there are?
Look at Sagarin rating them worse than.
Well, yeah, eight Ivies in Chicago State are out though.
I see.
Yeah. There's 347 teams playing this year. A couple of these computer metrics actually do come in with rankings that are KenPom still has
KenPom has Yale in the top. Yeah, he's got Yale at number 100, for example.
So there is, that's why some of these metrics are you can see higher than 347 this year.
These poor guys, they're gonna beat somebody. I don't know who, but somebody's going down.
maybe Idaho.
The Big Sky Conference.
351.
Rocco, the Big Sky Conference. We saw Montana State. We talked about them last week. What do? They go on. They get a road sweep at Northern Arizona. Not a good Northern Arizona team, but Montana State's just piling up the wins while other teams are knocking each other off.
Piling up the wins. It's not an easy place to win either. Northern Arizona's actually at elevation there in Flagstaff, so it's never a fun trip for opposing teams, despite Northern Arizona being pretty bad over the last few years. I think they've gotten a little better this year. They've got a couple surprising wins. So nice sweep for the Bobcats. Sadly, this week, their big rivalry showdown with Montana just got wiped off the schedule. But that's okay. They get to sit in first place the next week. So that's good. And I think also around the conference, we saw a really impressive showing from Weber State in the first round of the Southern Utah series. They won that by 24. And that was coming off of a pretty long layoff. It was their first Big Sky game since December. And then they had to go back down to St. George and do the rematch, and they lost a tight one. But I do think that shows Weber State's here to compete at the level of the top of the conference. And when you look at the Big Sky as a whole, you know, besides maybe Northern Arizona, of course, Idaho, and perhaps Portland State, I think everybody else can – beat each other on any given night.
Yeah, we saw a surprising split in David, one of our favorite rivalries, the Nokoe Woo Cup between Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington still 3-2. You see them down in fifth place there, but they're only 2 games of lost Colorado first.
When we get into a conference tournament setting, and you never know what's going to happen when those floor sweepers get out there, I could see them being good enough to win it. I don't think they're going to catch Montana State. Props to Rocco for spotting them. But, I watched them over the weekend. They are really good. Southern Utah, probably the most intriguing story of the conference. If we were making a movie, it would be about them. Montana State, the best team in the conference.
I'm not certain on that. Montana State's best team in the conference. I will not agree with you on that at this point. I think we need a little more play and, you know, a little more interaction and, you know, let's get Montana State on the court against the top of the conference as opposed to the bottom before we call them the best team, David. That's all.
They're pretty good. They're
they're not going to play it all this week. So cross those games off. Most of these other games, I believe, are a go, but not the Montana State games.
Yeah, we got Sac State and EWU, probably the headliner this week, out in Cheney.
David, one of our two under the radar, I guess one of our three under the radar undefeated teams here, actually, Winthrop here at 15-0 overall, on top of the Big South and beginning to roll away, especially with Radford having suffered a surprising upset loss to UNC Asheville in the first of 2 games that they played this past week.
Yeah, I don't think, barring a sweep over Winthrop, which is extremely unlikely. I don't think anybody's going to catch them. I don't think anybody can. Normally, this conference has first and eighth place separated by about two games all the way through. There's a lot of parity here, but Winthrop clearly the superior team. Radford's the only team that's anywhere near them. Everybody else is four games more or back. I don't think the question is who's going to win the conference or finish first. I think the question is, will they run the table and how will the committee evaluate them, assuming they don't get any more out of conference games? They're undefeated, but they're at the end of the day, they're going to look at it and be like, well, they didn't beat any NIT caliber teams. Are they inside the bubble? Are they on it? What do you do with a team like that? Yeah, Rocco, best, you guess the committee. What do you do with it?
Well, their best wins would be the Radford wins, although I guess, Rocco, this weekend, yeah. they've got Asheville, who just beat Radford, and is now the third best team in the conference also.
Yeah, and I think Asheville's probably the second best team in terms of the metrics and perhaps the eye test as well. So, you know, it's going to be a handful, I think, for Winthrop to get another sweep. They'll be tested, I'm pretty sure, this week. But I think as far as the overall question, you know, with just a single loss, let's say they just lost once in the conference tournament and it was against one of the teams in the 200s, not the 300s. It'd be pretty, I think it'd be pretty hard to keep them out. You know, maybe
I would like to think so.
Maybe put them in not in Dayton, but put them in whatever gym's going to host the first four. I just don't think it would be fair to put a team with that many wins, even if they don't get another non-league game out. Their net is respectable. They're 54 in net, which is higher than teams like Western Kentucky and even Colorado State. You know, so that shows they're pretty legit if they're trusting the net formula. They've beaten UNC Greensboro. They've beaten Furman. They've beaten Little Rock. It's like one loss team with that those kind of wins, I think you got to give them a crack.
Yeah, there's some games missing from that schedule up there. It's not just – they do have more than four games left, but go ahead, David.
Yeah.
And one of the things is – and as a metric, this is just going to be disregarded, I think, because there just weren't enough. An out-of-conference strength of schedule of 30, but, I mean, the anchor, the 302, ooh. Oh man, as an overall strength of schedule.
Right, but again, non-conference, they played three good teams. They only played three non-conference games.
Yeah, they only played
three respectable teams.
Respectable.
And I would love for them to get another game against anyone, really.
Okay, they're going to play Asheville this week. Does that count?
Well, out of conference.
Okay. Power school or maybe even a Conference USA if we have
to. Yeah. And I think that if you understand the metrics, which most coaches do not, this is a good team to play if you're trying to elevate your own. So LSU, you know, how many teams we're going to do the bracket show tomorrow, all those teams that are sort of hovering around the bubble could benefit from a game against Winthrop.
David, let's jump over to the Big West Conference, where we now have UC Irvine.
Eaters.
The Eaters picked up a pair of wins over Cal Poly very easily to now have a two-game lead in the conference standings. UCSB did not get to play this week, though.
Yeah, and again, this conference been ravaged.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, UCSB did play. They beat Northridge. I apologize. They swept Northridge. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. This conference been ravaged by shutdowns and postponements and all of that. And the Eaters really looked anemic at the start of the season. There wasn't much to be excited about. But since they've gotten the conference play, they've looked good. And I don't mean just by looking at what you see on the screen here. Like, you watch them play, and I think they're better than anyone else I've really seen. Santa Barbara, you know, probably might be – their overall metrics might be a little better, but when they get on the court together, I like the Eaters. I think they're going to run away with it, which, considering everything that they lost and how much rebuilding that went into this, you know, they're kind of far removed from the team that went to the round of 32 the last time we had an NCAA tournament. Again, one of the class teams of the conference. I know Rocco's a little bit closer geographically, so he might have more to say, but.
Yeah, Rocco, amazingly, everybody in this conference played this week too. I mean, that
was awesome.
Shocker, really.
That was
Beach got a non-conference game in because they were the team without any conference games.
Yeah, they went over to Cal Baptist, and you saw UC Davis finally get on the court after their crazy county situation. And now they'll get to host Santa Barbara this week. First game is back in Davis since all that. So, in fact, I'm checking now, but I think Davis hasn't even played a home game yet. They did against a D2 school, But that'll be their first D1 home game here on January 29th. So yeah, overall, that's the big story. I think Irvine, you got a series out on the islands this week. Could be interesting. Hawaii's been up and down. They're still trying to figure things out. They didn't get a non-conference schedule either. So, and of course, Riverside's still like our awesome story this year. So this is going to be such a cool conference tournament if they can pull it off. Go to Vegas, do what you got to do, but let's get the tournament played.
Yeah. All 10 eligible teams in the conference tournament. Again, a change up from past years where they've only let 8 teams in and always knocked a last place team in. UCC are not in because of ineligibility.
But. Yeah, probably the right course of action, I think, considering that you didn't get the full season. Let them all in.
Let them all in.
Rocco, over in the Colonial, a conference that overall I think has been fairly disappointing. Yeah. But still, like, despite an upset loss, I'm still to James Madison this week. I still like this Northeastern team a lot, and I know you do too. I think.
Yeah, I do. I do. They're very well coached, and they execute game plans, and they know, you know, they throw out different strategy every time out, and that makes it really fun to kind of break down and see what they're doing. And they've got some good pieces to the puzzle, personnel wise, that are all young. You know, this wasn't supposed to be their year. It's mostly freshmen and sophomore. You got two juniors in Walters and Strong, but I mean, guys like Walker and Telfort are really leading the way. So it's pretty cool, just because you can depend on two things in college basketball, I think, no matter what year it is, and that's great coaches and great defense. And Northeastern's doing that better than anybody in the Colonial. I did think it was really impressive for James Madison to get the second game of that series. And then they turned around today and knocked off Towson for the second time. So another one-loss team, obviously played less games than Northeastern. But we got a new coach there. Mark Byington came over from Georgia Southern. Building the program, they just got a multi-million dollar facility built. In fact, they're talking about hosting the CAA tournament there at James Madison. So you got to, I mean, they're another team that were supposed to be a few years away. And here we are, like, these might be the two teams competing for a right to go to the NCAAs. Pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And David, here's the upcoming schedule. Northeastern is at Drexel now. Now, don't overlook this. Drexel was a team that we liked heading into the season.
Yeah, we did.
If you look at some of the metrics, they're still one of the top metrics teams in the conference, even though they're down there in seventh place because of the 2-3 overall record from not having played as many games.
Yeah, Drexel was rather, I mean, we were excited about them coming into the season and early on. And I mean, like, you know, around Thanksgiving, those first couple games, they looked pretty good, not looking so good in conference, but Drexel, it seems like they're always a team that's so erratic, like, or real schizophrenic. They can be really good at times. They are really good, but they're not always really good. And sometimes they're really bad. You just kind of don't know what you're going to get, but you're right. Despite being in seventh place, the pieces they have, they can beat just about anyone in the conference.
That's a nice segue for what's coming ahead this week.
Yeah.
Northeastern at Drexel for two.
Yeah. Northeastern at Drexel for two. And James Madison will be hosting College of Charleston. I mean, honestly, look at the schedule, the conference standings here. Nobody has more than four losses in conference play. You've got to say it's still wide open for anybody. You know, if we can assume we can get some of these games in.
Right, that's the key. There's been a shutdown in almost every program in this league, so that's been tough.
Yeah.
Over in the two-division conference USA, we've got to say here, they only played Middle Tennessee, but finally we saw Western Kentucky doing what Western Kentucky needs to do, which is go
pound
on the road against a Conference USA team or a bad Conference USA team and blow them out for two games, as opposed to when they lost to Charlotte earlier this year. Rocco, but yeah, this WKU team, I'm buying back in now. I'm buying back in at large caliber, potentially, if they can keep winning into the conference tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Charles Bassey, who doesn't want Charles Bassey in the NCAA tournament? I mean, he's got the great story of coming back from the ACL. He's an NBA caliber player. Marshall fans, probably. Yeah. UAB fans, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, beyond that, the rest of the country, I mean, it's a treat. It's a treat to watch this team play. They can compete with teams that are going to be seeded fourth and fifth. And whatever, if they're a 12 or a 13, it's going to be very dangerous. I think this is, again, next four games are Florida Atlantic and Rice. You got to win all four of those and do it with some authority.
Is that Old Dominion series off?
The Old Dominion series is off. They're on a 2-week shutdown. In fact, I actually talked to WKU earlier today, and they are looking for a big time opponent to play in the next
Winthrop.
Week.
Winthrop.
Yeah. Let's do it, guys. Play two.
If you're watching, when you talk to them tomorrow, tell them to play Winthrop.
Yeah, they all need games, and do it during, do it on Monday and Tuesday next week, whatever you got to do.
Hopefully there'll be some games for WKU. It will not be against Old Dominion. David, right. The other story here, in that West Division, UAB now 12-2 overall, doesn't have the metrics or the strength of schedule to, be in an at-large contention bid, I think. But and they're not going to play to Western Kentucky until the conference tournament because of the way the division formats work this year. So the question is, could UAB beat Western Kentucky in a Conference USA Tournament Championship game?
I don't want to say that they couldn't, but I wouldn't pick them to. Now, having said that, and I know that they've been playing against the bakery or the pastry cart.
Which is most of the conference.
They're still having a much better year than what was expected. And I think Andy Kennedy. Yeah, is having another, I've been drinking a lot, so my brain is fried, but he's doing a good job. It was a really good hire. This is a guy that had, pretty good success in his 1 year in Cincinnati, walked into a situation with a really depleted team and almost made the NCAA tournament, had some good years at Ole Miss. I know it didn't end well, but they weren't really that strong when he got there. He got them into the rankings a few times, got them to a few tournaments, had a couple tournament runs, I think. So the guy can coach, and here he is again, having a better than expected year at UAB. So the long-term health of this program is pretty good, but I don't think they're on Western Kentucky's level. And I certainly don't think, even with the bloated record, they're within 20 miles of the bubble.
Right. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Horizon League then, where Cleveland State, we were ready to totally buy in on Cleveland State, Rocco, and they had another rough week with they struggled on Friday against Milwaukee and got the win, and then they lost on Saturday.
Yeah, Milwaukee hit a game-winning shot there late. Yeah. Pretty cool for the Panthers. But, yeah, Cleveland State, the fact that they're still 10-2 in the league is still an amazing story. Obviously, losing two of the last three is a little bit of a caution flag in the wind, but Dennis Gates, tremendous job. They've squeaked a lot of these things out too. Looking back, they won an overtime game against Northern Kentucky. They had a 3-point win over Ooey Pooey. It's not like it was Cleveland State's record was great, but it wasn't like Cleveland State's blowing teams out the window. They're just finding ways to win, which just is a good sign. They'll whether they're the one seed or a top two or three seed in the conference tournament, they'll still be a really tough out for anybody. But watch out for this Green Bay team that they got to play this week. They've started to turn their season around.
Yeah. And David, also this Wright State team, when you look at the metrics, that should be the best team in the conference. At our preseason predictions, it should be the best team in the conference. I'm getting the feel at the end of the day, they are going to be the dumb ones team in the conference.
I agree. Cause if you look at their profile, one of the things you'll notice is that they have three losses and all of them are sort of head scratchers, but they also sort of made amends for, I believe, all three of them. If we put them side by side here, it'll
load up in a second, but go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, you look at the loss, Marshall out of conference, but Cleveland State close loss at the buzzer. The next game they blast them by, 36, my puppet math. Youngstown State, really close loss, blew them away by 48 in the next game, or 38. And, Oakland, close loss, blew them away. So the thing is, you do not want to beat Wright State because you're going to make them really mad.
In terms of this conference, one other note about the Horizon League, actually, they did finally become the last conference to announce what their intended conference tournament format is. It may get blown up again, but interestingly enough, they all 12 teams of the conference tournament with games at campus sites until we get to the semifinals and finals in Indianapolis, hosted by IUPUI. But
is it a ladder or is it a straight bracket?
It's a straight bracket with reseeding after each round, though.
Okay.
But the interesting thing is they are going to be starting on the Thursday before everybody normally starts, even. So this is 2.5 weeks before Selection Sunday, one of the earliest conference tournament starts we have ever seen.
We've seen conferences start in November, depending on how the calendar falls. But I'm talking
about the conference tournament itself.
The conference tournament never started.
No, I'm sorry.
I meant to say we've seen conference tournaments start in February, depending on how the calendar falls. But it's
still going to be in those 2 weeks before Selection.
Yes.
They're going back another half a week before that, even to start.
Right. But that was going to be my point. No one has ever started this far before Selection Sunday.
Yeah. 17 days before Selection Sunday is a record, as far as I know.
Yeah.
There's the upcoming games. Wright State allegedly is going to be playing Robert Morris. Cleveland State allegedly playing Green Bay. Who knows? it's COVID season.
I think we're good on all these so far.
So far, cross our fingers on them. David, go ahead. Take the next conference.
Okay. They have also announced their conference tournament format. It's going to be four teams, and they're actually going to be playing it. This is crazy. Are you ready for this, Chad? They are playing it 51 weeks after Selection Sunday.
that is true. 52 weeks, actually. They always play that 52, last weekend.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah.
But seriously, over in the Metro Atlantic, Rocco Siena finally suffered their first loss. Well, not finally, but they suffered their first loss of the season, losing a home game to St. Peter's, then bounced back and won the second game of that set by a atrocious 47-40 score on Saturday.
Yeah, the 47-40 game was very atrocious, but whatever it takes to get a win, I suppose. It was a very rough day for both teams. I think 30 combined turnovers and some very poor shooting. But, we talked about
points,
it, I think. I think what we talked about a couple of weeks ago together was just how poor a lot of the offense is in this league, and you're going to see a lot of games won ugly like that. And it's just, if it's Siena or St. Peter's that comes out of the league or anybody else, it's probably going to be a defensive minded club. The only team really playing offense is Monmouth. So, that's really something to look out for. Definitely bring your blinders if you're watching these games on Friday afternoons like I am.
I don't even know. Iona's been shut down. I don't see them on the schedule there. I don't know if they're for next Wednesday, actually. I do see them allegedly scheduled, if it's going to happen or not. But that's going to be the big rivalry game, actually.
One of our favorite under the radar games, or under the radar rivalries, right up there with the Battle of Brooklyn and the Wagon Wheel. This is a good one.
Rocky, another comment on the Metro Atlantic?
The Manhattan series so far is set up to be both the next two Wednesdays. It will be at Iona this next Wednesday and then at Manhattan the following Wednesday. And then Iona's going to squeeze in a Marist two-gamer the weekend in between.
Okay. Yeah, it's still going to be fun, but God, it seriously, like if you those games are normally on TV in a normal year. If you've not seen it, watch it, because it will blow you away, the intensity of that rivalry.
The fans are going to be going David,
the benches
the cardboard. David, the Mid-American Conference, which, if you took away directional schools, this would be an amazing conference. But
Toledo continuing to roll, continuing to really impress. At least I've been impressed with them. I wasn't expecting much of them coming into the year, so maybe that's why I'm kind of even more impressed with them. But, they had the win against Kent State that they kind of had to scratch out, but still going strong, winning at Miami, Ohio, too. So, you get two wins like that.
But below them, Akron picking up a couple wins this
week. Yeah, this Akron week, team's
week, good. Rocco,
yeah.
Miami, Ohio picking up a couple wins. And so there's some other, even Ohio, and then Ohio U down there. There's a lot of teams that could beat this Toledo team, though.
Yes.
So that's what's, no matter how good Toledo might be, they're not running away with it.
They're not running away with it. And, they play a pretty poor defense, Toledo does. So they're winning a lot of shootouts. You saw the Miami Ohio win yesterday was up in the 80s, 90-81 was that score. So when they lost to Akron, it was in the mid 90s. So it's a lot of offense, but if Toledo goes cold for a little bit, they're not exactly getting stops on the other end. And that opens the door for upsets. So far they've avoided that for the most part at 14-4. And I do think they've fine tuned this offense. I covered a game when they played Wright State 2 years ago, was really impressed, and they're even sharper now. And these guys are veteran players. So certainly the team to beat, but you're right. Miami, Ohio, 4 wins in a row before that game. Bowling Green, a little bit sluggish, but they have the players. There's about 5 or 6 really good teams in this league. That really fun league to watch.
It's a real interesting week coming ahead for Toledo. Some of these games happen at Bowling Green, and then the revenge game at home against Akron. So
yeah, the battle of I-75 coming on Saturday.
Let's keep rolling along here, David. The Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Talk about divisions. We've got them. Talk about teams that can't play conference games. We've got 2 of them.
Yeah.
David, we were talking Morgan State, Norfolk State. Morgan State, Norfolk State. I think we had it wrong. Coppin State goes and sweeps Norfolk this weekend.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to ignore that. I had been big on Norfolk State, really, even since before conference play began. But Coppin going in there and beating them twice, jumping out to a 2-game lead, at least over Norfolk, with the tiebreaker in hand. How do you not look at that and say, well, now Coppin's the team to beat in the conference? And how about that win over St. Mary's? St. Mary's, big rival, West Coast.
Wrong, wow. St. Mary's. Rocco, though. But this conference, again, another conference really struggling to get games in here.
Yeah.
We supposedly have Morgan and Coppin coming up this week, though.
We do. And I've been really impressed with Morgan, as much as all the praise Coppin's getting for the sweep, which they certainly deserve under Juan Dixon, really putting it together this year. I think the thing to keep in mind is with the divisions, these series are going to repeat themselves. So you got
four times of playing everybody.
Yeah. So you got Coppin at Norfolk for 2 and 2 weeks, and Morgan State and Coppin have already split. That was their one loss. So, they're going to get after each other. It's really good. I want to see the Carolina teams get back on the court, because I do think NC Central and A&T could compete. And even FAMU, who beat Austin Peay this year, it would be great to get them back out there too. And the real sad news is Howard has not been able to get on the court. They just had to cancel their February 1st game. I don't know if they're ever going to be able to get back out there the way things are going. And certainly they got to squeeze in a ton of games late to even be eligible for the tournament.
Yeah. You see that it's the NC Central at Howard game that was scheduled for Monday the 1st that just got canceled. Interestingly enough, that was a non-conference game, because it was a that they had scheduled against each other. But it was a non-conference game because you only play your division mates in conference games this year. But it doesn't matter anymore, because it's gone. Just cross it off. Pretend it's not there. Rocco, let me stick with you and jump over to the Missouri Valley Conference. We could talk about, mention here as we record this, Drake is playing is up 9 at you at halftime at Missouri State, coming off of the win last night at Missouri State and making that run. You see 27 in the AP poll. We may not be discussing them on the show next week.
That'd be great. This Drake story has been amazing since day one. Missouri State's the toughest team they've played this year, and they're playing them on the road. And last night they were down by 17 at one point. They got behind Roman Penn and this amazing Drake offense. DJ Wilkins is just a super underrated point guard, helps run the show. And Missouri State's a lot better than people are giving them credit for too. So this is really great for the Valley as a whole. And tonight's game, another good competitive game. I think from a ranking standpoint, it just would be fantastic for the Valley in general and for Drake's program. So I don't have much doubt that they'll win on Sunday. They got Illinois State at home. That should be a win. And sky's the limit. Drake could play if they end up sweeping Loyola Chicago, which is going to be very difficult. They could play their way into the year Murray State was a 6 seed, or Southern Illinois has been a 4 seed before.
Drake's been a 5 seed,
and Drake's been a 5, right? They played San Diego that year.
And here's another team with Drake, with the new schedule here, with trying to get these games made up, playing almost every day during the month of February. Yeah. It is a lot of games are going to be
a loss. There's probably a loss in there somewhere.
And you look at the fact they did get that Loyola Chicago schedule games rescheduled for February 13th and 14th at Drake. David, though, I'll put up on the right side of the screen there the Loyola's resume, who's got an interesting series at Missouri State coming off. He's going to be coming off of potentially getting swept by Drake. But this Loyola team here, you know, here's the question. Let's say they split with Drake. They beat the rest of the teams on their schedule. They lose in the Missouri Valley Championship game, so when we have a Missouri Valley tournament.
Yeah.
Is this an at-large caliber team? And I think they might be. Just on the volume of wins they're going to have,
well,
metrics. And
let me speak. For our committee, I would look at that and say yes. And again, it's kind of hard to point at data in paper this year because it's such an unusual year. But if they do all that, if they go to Drake and win, and they're the only team that wins at Drake and perhaps the only team that beats them at all, and they've got all those other road wins against some teams like Bradley, while not good, has been good at home, I would argue that that's enough. I would argue that that's better than maybe somebody that's not under the radar, that while they beat better teams, they beat them at home, and the teams they beat were 3-8 on the road overall. It's hard to win on the road. If they do all that and split with Drake, I think they belong in.
If you want to look at, let's say, hey, listen, because they didn't play teams, let's look at what some of these computers are spitting out here. Look at these numbers. Look at the 26 net. Look at these. Yeah. Look at the 18 BPI. Look at the
those
offensive
are
defensive numbers are very, very high. That's large caliber numbers, and
they are
votes in both polls.
Yeah, and Rocco's the selection committee guessing expert here. Why don't you ask
him? Well, Rocco, are you with me that Loyola Chicago is? Yeah. I had them. I did a bracket this week. They were my first team out. I had them that close.
Yeah, and I put one out yesterday. They were the third team out for me. Okay. So they're right there. But I think in general, if they're top 30 in net with all other things ignored, they're going to have to win a ton of more games to stay in the top 30. So if they end the season in the top 30, it's going to be really, really hard to keep them out for the committee. Just historically, you know, even if you look at RPI data going back to the 80s, it would be a rarity to keep them out. So and to stay in the top 30, they're probably going to have to split with Drake. Obviously, you can game the net by blowing a lot of teams out, but only to a certain extent. So,
but a pair of wins at Missouri State this weekend would help the numbers, honestly.
Would help the numbers, honestly. Yep. And if they split, as funny as it sounds, that actually improves Missouri State's net, and the win will look better. So, I can see either of those kind of working out in their favor. But we'll see how it plays out. It's just awesome that we're having this conversation, to be honest.
Yeah, I think we've got a legitimate shot here at a two-bid Missouri Valley.
Absolutely.
I don't think Missouri State's going to be in that picture if they assume they lose tonight and they can't find a way to do something like crazy.
Yeah,
like
Drake is slowly, on live on tape delay, Drake is slowly widening the lead.
Yeah, right now as recorded, I've got it listed as up 11. I don't actually have the game on.
They just went up 15.
Okay, up 15. Over in the Northeast Conference, one of our favorite conferences, where unfortunately I don't think we've seen Bryant play for a little while here, as the rest of the league is starting to catch up with him in total numbers of wins, I guess. but what we have here is
awesomeness. Look
how close everything is in a fight for four spots only in the conference tournament, David.
Yeah. What we have here is awesomeness. I think that they should let all 10 teams in the conference tournament, and they should play it twice. That's how much I love this conference. But what a regular season run we have going here. And again, two games separates the team that's going to be the first seed and have home court advantage and the team that could conceivably not be in the tournament at all.
And we've got some fun basketball to watch here. Look at the tempo numbers in this conference. Bryant 3, Long Island 11. Look at the numbers. Fairleigh Dickinson and SFPA played yesterday and today. They both games were in the 90s. This is a fun basketball. More than ever this year, Rocco.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then on the opposite end, you've got Mount St. Mary's and Wagner. They're the two of the slowest teams, so it makes it fun when they match up with the fast teams.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, it's clearly a ton of fun, no matter who the matchups are. And I'm curious on the fourth place situation, like what is the tiebreaker going to be? Because I think there's a real chance that comes into play here.
Yeah, they've always had tiebreakers because there's only ever eight teams in. So it's the same formula, but I don't know what the, I don't have it as you read it,
how
but
it works.
How it is and how many teams have tied. We could see LIU, if the standings stay as they are now, right now, LIU and St. Francis Brooklyn, two of our one of our favorite rivalries that got shut down this week, even though it was supposed to be played, unfortunately.
And well, they're back on for Saturday.
Well, they are back on for Saturday. There we go. Yeah. Circle it, highlight it. Let's put it in bold here. There it is. Watch it. Don't watch anything else on Saturday. Only watch that game.
Only watch that.
Put that on CBS. Please.
Yeah.
Bryant supposedly getting back on the court at Fairleigh Dickinson with a pair. So that's going to be fun as well if we can get that. Monday will be the second game of that SFBK Long Island game, assuming those games are a go here, too. Definitely a fun conference to watch. We already looked at the Ohio Valley. So let's jump ahead to the Patriot League here. And Rocco, you want to talk? Oh, I'm sorry. That is not the Patriot League, that's the Ohio Valley. Rocco, if you want to talk about teams that finish in the top 30 net and therefore deserve at-large bids, well, I give you Colgate.
That will be a real test for the committee, I'll tell you that much.
It won't.
Well, I'm saying just for the historical stat and being able to maintain it. If Colgate keeps blowing everybody out, there's nothing they can do. They're going to stay in the top 20 net. But I don't know. They lost to Army earlier this year. I think they'll potentially slip up. They only beat Holy Cross by 9 in the second game. I'm surprised they didn't drop a little further after that. But Colgate's really good. I think they, you know, despite having a loss, they're probably the favorite. Navy's the best story. But Army was able to split with them. And, you know, that both the service academies this year, I mean, it's definitely been their year. It's been really fun to follow both teams.
It has. In this Navy team in particular is something special. I wish it was a normal year because God, wouldn't this be fun? It's fun anyway, but 10-2 overall. And you know, Army, they've both looked really good, but Navy has a pretty good, they're not going to get inside the bubble. They're not going to be on the 16 line either. If they're coming out of this league, they're going to be, I would imagine. Right now. Yeah, I know. And they're tough to play against.
They got a road win at Georgetown.
They did.
And so that by itself would stand out over most of the 15s and 16s.
Right, yeah.
And if you look at the upcoming schedule here, assuming these games are a go, Colgate is supposed to be at Army. Navy is supposed to be playing Loyola home and home. And Holy Cross and BU are supposed to be playing each other two more times, which is two of about 300 times they are scheduled to play each other this season. Those two teams, the way it worked out, they were scheduled to play each other six times in regular season play. Just very strange schedule this year in the Patriot League.
Yeah.
I think if they split 3-3, they got to go to game 7.
You got to have a game 7. Well, maybe they could get in the conference tournament. Who knows?
There you go.
That'll be their first ever 7-game series in college basketball. I'll tell you. Let's go over to the SoCon, which saw
a huge
upset. And apparently Greensboro and Mercer played each other twice tonight. I think they only played once, though.
According played to once.
But the huge upset this afternoon, Rocco, I don't know if you got to see it or not. I did not get to see it. But, you know, the Wofford losing to the Citadel, who at one point had been 8-0 on the season, lost 5. Or I guess they've been 7-0, but 8-0 on the season. Now they're 8-5 overall, I guess. I think
9-4 overall. 9-4 now.
9-4, yeah.
Yeah, so second SoCon win. Every SoCon win is counted at the Citadel because they're very far and few between in a typical year. But this was impressive. They got Wofford to play a faster tempo. The Bulldogs hit 14 out of 27 threes. I mean, they were just lights out from deep, and that helped them recover. You know, Wofford had a 16-point lead in the first half, and at the start of the second half, the Citadel came out firing, and all of a sudden, the tides turned quickly, and they tied it up, and then they built a 10-point lead out of nowhere, and then they were able to maintain it all the way down the stretch for an 8-point win. Just outstanding by the Citadel. Hats off to to head coach Duggar Baucom out there. And they're not an easy out. They're going to go play East Tennessee State on Saturday. So look out. That's your new first place team.
First of all, quick note here. If you look at the standings on the screen, they did not include today's three games that were played. That's why the standings are a little bit off. A little minor bug there in the SoCon, but Wofford is now 7-2, East Tennessee State 5-1 in first place. Amazingly, over there went over Furman. And David, I also want to throw a shout out here though to Greensboro, now 6-3, win at Chattanooga, win at Mercer. Now, let's pay attention to Greensboro here.
Yeah,
it was a home win over Mercer.
One of the teams we really liked, or I did anyway, back in October and in the preseason, thought that they could make a lot of noise. Was kind of disappointing up until now, but now I think we're seeing that their potential and. They're dangerous potentially in the round of 64, even if they can get there. Furman, kind of a disappointment. Here's who's not a disappointment is East Tennessee State, who won the league last year. Everybody, including the coach, packed up and left. They did not. In November, this team looked rough. And I was just like, oh, my God, are they even going to get to 10 wins all year?
Right.
And my God, I mean, the way that this group, and it is not the same. Nothing is the same as it was a year ago. The way that they've come together and how much better they look now as opposed to what they did at the beginning of the year, maybe one of the most improved teams in all of the under the radar. Wow.
Yeah, they're playing phenomenally. They got a big-time JUCO player, Ladarius Brewer, who's just playing lights out. He's playing like an all-league type of player. And they're getting it done on the defensive end. They're improving defensively each time out. And so, they're playing just awesome. It's been great to see.
Yeah. This league has kind of eaten itself, wouldn't you say?
We're not talking at large on this league at all.
Yeah. Look at VMI. They're blowing teams out now. It's not like they're just hoping to stay close. They're actually they blew out WCU today. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
A lot of should be fun games though on the schedule now that every game that doesn't involve Western Carolina looks like it's worth watching. So
Western, if you look at their other five losses, they were all tight losses. So you figure they're still at the same level. But
they got crushed by VMI tonight. It was bad. It was ugly.
Amazing. Amazing for VMI.
Over in the Southland Conference, this is a game where there's actually have a game since we started this podcast. A few more games have gone final. Notably, one that did go final is Sam Houston State. Did by 5 points only pick up a win tonight over Corpus Christi, who was in dead last there. It was a game that Sam Houston State was really had to sweat out that they should not have, but they are now 7-0. As we record this, Stephen F. Austin and Abilene Christian are in a nail biter in the second half, though. But David, I think we've got a four team race here is what we have, because Nichols is in there too, along with Abilene.
Yeah, SFA, I still really like this Abilene Christian team, and again they're nip and tuck with SFA, but yeah, it is sort of a four-team race. I know Sam Houston State struggled tonight. An observation that one of you made was that the big rivalry with SFA is coming up this weekend. Maybe they were looking ahead to that and just not tonight. But I don't know if I'm as big on Nichols as I am the other three, but they're right there in the mix, so it's kind of hard to ignore them.
Rocco, you want to sell some Nichols that they belong in this talk?
Well, I mean, Nichols and Sam Houston State basically have the same power rating. So, I mean, if you trust the metrics, they belong. They've been able to – I feel like the tiers in the Southland, for the most part, tonight was a little bit of a curveball. But for the most part, every Wednesday and weekend, they've stayed pretty steady. You know, there's some real crappy teams at the bottom. Yes. But here at the top, these top four, like Nichols has been – steadily blowing out the same teams that Sam Houston and Abilene and Stephen F. Austin have. They did have one little 2-point road win at Central Arkansas, but that's on the road. So Nichols, they've won eight in a row now. So I think they're legit, and I think they'll give Sam Houston all they can handle in a week. It looks like whoever Nichols was supposed to play this week got already scrapped, but they'll play Sam Houston next week.
Well, Nichols State did beat McNeese tonight. So they're now up to 7-1. There's nobody on the schedule for them this weekend, so I don't know.
Yeah, real
play
quick,
Western Kentucky.
Yeah, Yeah, I know
Sorry,
we
go
got a
ahead.
couple more leagues to get to, but real quick, this league is kind of getting gutted. I said I didn't like bloated leagues.
Sure.
That will not be the case for the Southland next year. Losing SFA, Sam Houston, Central Arkansas, and who else?
Lamar. SFA, Sam Houston, Lamar, and
Lamar. Okay.
And Lamar are on their way to the WAC, and Central Arkansas is announced to be one of the teams that's going over the Atlantic Sun. So we've got
this is going to be an exceptionally weak basketball conference.
It's going to be a very heavy Louisiana and Southern Texas league.
Yeah.
Going forward. Okay. If you consider Houston and San Antonio.
Is Abilene going to the WAC as well? Is that?
Yeah. No? Abilene's gone.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's the, I know there are four teams going to the WAC. That's the one we missed.
Okay.
Yeah. So all the Louisiana schools are staying, and then the San Antonio and Houston schools.
It'll be the Go Colonels league.
That's right. Hey, they still get to go to Corpus Christi. That's a nice trip.
Right. I mean, this is SWAC level basketball.
Well, speaking of SWAC level basketball, this really is SWAC level basketball.
This is SWAC level basketball.
Where Prairie View is, you know, I mean, I know it was Mississippi Valley, but 77-31, 73-56 over Pine Bluff, who is not much better than Mississippi Valley, but. But Prairie View is really turning it on here at Rocco. I think this Prairie View team, I don't know if anybody in this conference could beat them at this point.
Yeah, I think teams could beat them per se, but like the way they've played in the four conference games so far, they haven't had much of a test. Texas Southern, the first game was a 4-point win, but.
But they're past that game now, so they got one more challenge with them, and that's it, really.
One more challenge with them. They're in. Certainly in the driver's seat to get this regular season title. But yeah, I think Southern's got talent. Texas Southern, of course, does. And Grambling's capable of nipping you. And even Jackson State, they started showing a little promise lately.
Well, if you want to talk about Southern, Southern had a pretty bad week losing to both Alabama A&M and Alabama State. So I'm not
very
really
bad.
The Alabama State loss, especially. But I guess we should talk about the undefeated AAMU team here, David. Because here's the game of the season coming up on Saturday at Prairie
That's
View.
Right.
Yeah, I think Prairie View rolls them.
I do too. But undefeated. One of five undefeated teams in the nation.
Right. And and they still have, you know, very far fewer wins than a lot of teams that are not undefeated. Like there's 3-11 teams that have more D1 wins than Alabama and
there's teams in this conference with more wins than them, but they are undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that going to be on CBS too?
It better be. I wish I was in charge of programming.
I think they're going to ABC on this one.
Good, good. And David, just to be fair, the Bulldogs, all four of their wins are D1 wins. So,
okay. I stand corrected. I was looking at. I was confusing the columns here. Like I said, I've been drinking heavily today.
Yeah. They've only played D1 teams. They were playing one a month. They've increased their pace. They're now played. They played two now in January. So, and they should get a third one. Over in the Summit League,
Yotes.
David, you want to talk about the Yotes, who with a powerful sweep of a lousy Western Illinois team, have now.
Well, that's just a bloated conference record, but not exactly a front-loaded schedule yet. It's been fun because who doesn't like the Yotes? It's still South Dakota State and company, I think.
I know you like
North Dakota State a little bit, but I like South Dakota State.
Well, Rocco, is it South Dakota State who is not been able to get on the court recently, or is it North Dakota State who has got on the court and, you know, beat up on a Denver team that's not that good?
Everybody's beating up on Denver, at least the teams that are on the court.
Yeah,
but South Dakota State, definitely the team to beat. I mean, they've already crushed Utah State, a bubble team. They won at Iowa State, they won at Bradley. I mean, it's just a whole different caliber of team. But that doesn't mean North Dakota State can't beat them on any given night. It doesn't mean when we get to the Summit tournament in the Pentagon and all the Dakotas beat up on each other that anything can't happen, because that certainly is possible.
Yeah,
but I do think the Jackrabbits are the team to beat, and they get the Yotes next week.
And I don't know how much I know you, Rocco. You've liked this Oral Roberts team most of the season. They had a very strange loss on Sunday. Bad loss to Kansas City.
So interesting story on Kansas City. I was actually watching that game, and it was originally announced a couple weeks ago that Brandon McKissick, one of the league's best players, was going to go to the transfer portal. I never saw the announcement that he pulled his name out, but he's back on the team. And McKissick had 24 against Oral Roberts to lead KC to the victory. And it was amazing because all these people in Kansas City were watching the game too.
I tell you, it was all over Twitter that Sunday afternoon about Kansas City, how good they were playing. It was crazy.
It was just a nutso day.
David, interesting upcoming schedule here. South Dakota gets the Yotes get to beat up on Omaha. South Dakota State goes to Denver, gets beat up. North Dakota State at Kansas City, maybe could be a trap game.
Perhaps.
Those games are on even.
Yeah,
Rocco's going to cancel them on me in any second.
They're going to cancel.
So far, we're good. But I do want to say Kansas City's not going to be a walk in the park anymore as long as he's playing because, I mean, they almost won the first game, too. That was a 2-point loss.
All right. We've got a couple more conferences here. Sun Belt Conference. I got to tell you, David, up top to bottom right now, especially with Georgia State having a pair of slip-ups against Appalachian State looking just unimpressive in those two games. This might be one of the worst top-to-bottom Sun Belts we've seen in a long time at this point.
It might be. One of the teams that is emerging a little bit that kind of has my attention is this Texas State team, despite a non-D1 loss.
That doesn't count, does it?
Go ahead.
I don't count it.
The metrics don't. Most of the metrics do not count the loss, but there it is, Our Lady of the Lakes.
The committee very much does count it. You know, this is an interesting four-game stretch for this Texas State team. It's all at home, but Louisiana and Little Rock, two of the better teams in the league, they win three out of four or four out of four. I'm willing to declare that this is probably the team to beat in the Sun Belt.
Rocco, I think you like this team. I'm not there yet, but I might be after this next week here with David.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a good story. LJ's come in as the LJ Johnson's been the interim coach after all the drama with Casper. So it's just a really, really good story. And I think that the West part of the conference is a little stronger than the East. In the East, I think Coastal's capable. Obviously, Georgia State's capable, but there's just a little bit more mismatch. I'm not impressed with Troy. South Alabama's got a ton of injuries, and Appalachian State's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But on the West side, UT Arlington's pretty solid. Obviously, Texas State, Louisiana can beat anybody, and obviously, Little Rock was great last year, and they have a lot of the guys back. So I just think you're going to see some really good games here on the West. We've already seen it. Louisiana and Texas State are going to face each other again this week. They split in a great series in the opening weekend of Sun Belt play. So look for those to be pretty darn good games out in San Marcos Friday and Saturday.
I guess we also got to pay a little bit of attention maybe to this Georgia Southern Coastal Carolina series in the East here also.
Coastal's got to get those games, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia Southern's just young and a year away. New coach there. If Coastal messes with them, then they might not be that good.
Appalachian State off of that sweep of Georgia State at Troy for a pair, which they should win both of those. They better win both of those.
Yeah, they split with them last time, so I don't know.
The WAC. Full conference of the day with all that red in there, all those teams are either ineligible or not playing this year, and geez, we're getting games in, but they're not even conference games. Cal Baptist got Long Beach, New Mexico State got on the court against Western New Mexico in a game they scheduled about 2 hours before they played it. St. John, Utah Valley went cross country to St. John's. David,
New Mexico State,
go ahead.
It's not won a D1 game, and it's almost February, and they might go to the NCAA tournament.
they might still be favored to go to the NCAA tournament of this conference.
Yeah.
I'm
one of the last people probably still putting them in the bracket because I've got a very stubborn approach where if you're my preseason champion and you haven't lost in conference,
Chicago State, come on.
They weren't my preseason champion. Sorry, Chicago State. But if we get, if they're coming right out of the chute here to play Grand Canyon this week, it's going to be crazy. They got to at least split that. And usually, you know, the long WAC story has been New Mexico State just owns Grand Canyon, no matter how good Grand Canyon looks. So, there's a lot on the line this week.
Grand Canyon look good with a couple wins over Dixie State, who showed a little bit of life at times this season. So,
I also think, you know, a team nobody really is paying much attention to, especially since they've been on shutdown, is UTRGV. But I actually think they got a couple of pretty good players. So, you know, keep them in your on your radar.
Now, Grand Canyon also knows the games are going to be at Grand Canyon. I was going to say, because New Mexico State is now playing their games. They're playing their games in El Paso, correct?
El Paso for now, but I think this series will be at the Lopes.
This will be at Grand Canyon. Okay, New Mexico State was played that Western New Mexico game at UTEP's home court. Actually,
how does that work?
They got they got permission to practice on campus, but they still can't host other teams there. Right. So they're playing. El Paso's about an hour and a half away, and obviously they're just is going as close as they can while leaving the state, because all the rules are a state of New Mexico rule. And that's why you're seeing the Lobos go all over the place to play their games too. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're up against, but a lot of things are getting lifted now. So maybe by the time they get back home, they'll be able to get some of those games back on campus.
We got one more conference to check out real quick. Check in here on the Front Range, where Colorado is up and maintains their lead at 1-0 over Wyoming. Colorado State still hasn't been able to get onto the Front Range court yet.
Tonight, though.
They are playing well tonight. Like, they're doing pretty good in a non-conference game against Boise.
Yeah, they need conference games, though, if they're going to catch Colorado.
They do, especially they need that big rivalry series with Wyoming to get played. I don't think it's on the schedule for this next week, though. I think it's still a few weeks away.
Yeah.
But so no Front Range games on the schedule.
No Front Range games on. Oh, man.
Let's go to our top 10 list. Yeah. So under the radar top 10 list, we got a lot of honorable mentions, teams that got votes either as honorable mentions or to be in the field that did not quite make our top 10. Let's run through them real quick. We got Kent State, Navy, Siena, just after that first loss, Liberty, Marshall, Texas State, who we just mentioned, UC Irvine, the top of the Big West, Eastern Kentucky, and David.
How about Cornell out of the Ivy League?
Undefeated.
Making an honorable mention.
Grass of the Big Red.
Yeah.
That's our first winless team to ever make the top 10, I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
Coming in at number 10, though, we have UAB out of Conference USA, the leaders of the West Division there. And at number 9, we've got Akron, the second best team, I think, in the American.
Moving up the rankings there. So
we'll see if they got that second Toledo game coming up. They could make a big jump with that win.
Let's get a sweep.
Number 8, Missouri State. Again, this was before tonight's game, although
they have closed it up, and the people that are there are going crazy.
South Dakota State coming at number 7 out of the Summit League. We just spoke about them a few minutes ago. And at number 6, we've got Belmont, the team we led the show off with. And only at number 6, I thought they were a little bit higher than that.
Yeah.
Number There's 5, we got
ahead of them. There's
we got Loyola Chicago. We talked about a potential at-large bid for them. We got Toledo at number 4.
Like that Rockets team.
We got Western Kentucky at number 3, starting to creep back up towards the top, towards that first place spot. Number 2, we got Winthrop, undefeated. You got to be number 2 if you're undefeated.
Yeah.
And number 1 is no surprise at all. It's Drake.
Yep.
On that note, let's go to any final thoughts. Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, final thoughts. I would just, let's go back to the, I was thinking the Ohio Valley. We didn't talk about Moorhead this week, but again, another great week for Moorhead. They've been absolutely phenomenal. I do think Belmont is obviously the team to beat overall, but I think if you look at the entire OVC, EKU and Jacksonville State and Moorhead State are now supplanting Murray and Austin Peay, who we thought would be there in there historically. They've been there the last few years. Murray always there. So I think it's still going to be an amazing OVC tournament. I think what you're getting out of this Eastern Kentucky and Jacksonville State team is a little bit different than what we saw out of Murray and Austin Peay in years back. Much different style, different strategy. And I'm curious to see how they match up with Belmont. We haven't really seen those matchups. I know Belmont and Jacksonville State play this weekend. Really looking forward to that. And I'm glad that we made them the feature conference today.
Absolutely. I was just trying to see if I can get a date for that Belmont Moorhead games for us here. And I see them coming up February 13th. At Moorhead and February 13th at Belmont, February 27th at Moorhead. So we're still a couple weeks away from those games.
Yeah, I think they closed
that last game will be the last game of the season unless something gets added in beyond that. But and it'd be right after the road gate Belmont's game at EKU. So maybe a little letdown after that big game. Mm-hmm. David, want to finish off the show?
You know, we alluded to this earlier. The WAC, as ridiculous as it is and as hard as it's having, I think that the quality of their basketball is going to go up. I hate that the Southland is getting gutted, because it is going to be basically a 16-seeded conference from here on out. But like with SFA, I mean, we've seen what they could do in the past and the quality of their program. Sam Houston, their big rivals. Abilene Christian, who, even though they're a recent transition team, has really made a lot of noise. You mix that in with Cal Baptist, another transition team that's taking basketball seriously. New Mexico State, who – you know, really could make a lot of noise in the Mountain West any given year. I mean, they're that good. I think the WAC is going to be on par with the Missouri Valley. Maybe not that good, but they're going to be one of the better under the radar conferences after this move.
Absolutely. I've been a fan of the WAC for years. It's been such rough, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun, especially with, you know, New Mexico State still being there and now having these real rivals to fight them.
In Grand Canyon too. I mean, the money that they put in the basketball and athletics.
And don't count out a team like Dixie State. They were very, very good at D2. So
yeah,
yes,
and yeah,
good resources too.
And Cal Baptist, that's the California key. Baptist also,
right? So I just kind of like it, and it's actually going to make geographic sense. If they could get rid of Chicago State, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, they are. Chicago State's going after next. Chicago State will be there for one more season, then they'll be gone, and Southern Utah's going to be coming in the second.
That alone is going to, like, raise the profile of the conference.
In fact, geographically, the only outlier is going to be Seattle. Everybody else is going to start making sense there in this Texas, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona-ish area. Yeah.
Seattle might want to look at the Big Sky soon.
Not a football school, but still, they might have room for them. And I don't know, is Chicago State found a home yet?
No.
Okay.
Not that I've heard. There's some conferences that might make sense. Technically, they could be an independent. We'll see what
they
happens.
They could, yeah.
All right. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs from Oops, do not follow him and delete him and don't pay attention to him.com. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night. We do a Bracket Rundown show and another Under the Radar next week. Take care, everybody.